This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage that perhaps on the surface looks like it doesn't apply to all of us. Because it's a passage that is addressed to youth and makes mention of old age. And the rest of you are left out. Now, there's a little bit of perspective in some of those terms. I'm getting to the stage that as I look out to you, I think, oh, just about everybody is youth. But we also need to remember, we're dealing with God's Word, and what God says directly to any of us is to the benefit of all of us. And also the youth that are mentioned in this, it seems that they are youth that have the benefit of growing up with God's Word and instruction. Not everybody has that blessing. And some people didn't really come to know the truth of the gospel until maybe they were in their 20s or 30s or 40s. And there's a sense in which, for those people spiritually, they're in their youth. They're learning and they're growing. It's a benefit, I hope, to all of us. A blessing, I pray. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're not going to deal with every verse in the chapter, primarily the first 8 verses, but I'm going to read the entirety of this short chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's pause and pray. Our Father, as we come into your word, I pray by your Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give glory to yourself and benefit to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes is a book well known for one simple proclamation, and that is vanity, oh vanity. All is vanity. And because of that, sometimes it is concluded that joy isn't real and life should not be enjoyed. It's all vanity anyway. After all, why care about anything? It's just vanity. Why should I work for anything? It will end up being meaningless in the end. That is not the message of Ecclesiastes. It talks much of things that we should take enjoyment in. And when it comes to finding enjoyment in life, it speaks often very specifically to young people. This, in the message of Ecclesiastes, is very, very clear. Life on earth, life under the sun, is going to have both joys and sorrows. And both of those need to be put into the proper perspective. We should never expect that life is going to be all joy and ease and happiness and success and popularity. If we expect that, then when the difficult times of life come along, we will think, oh, something is really wrong. God wants me to be happy. And this is really hard. And right now I'm really sad. And right now I don't know where to turn except to fall on my knees before God and beg for help. I'm in a mess and I can't handle it on my own. If we're expecting life to be joy and ease, those times can destroy us and throw us into depression and fear and despair. But if we expect life to be without joy, without sweetness, without any disappointing times, then we're going to lose hope. We'll give up. What difference does it make if I do this destructive thing? Because everything's just going to go bad anyway. Grab the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. I have no hope for tomorrow. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't ever expect that life is going to be all easy. The good times on earth don't last forever, and they were never promised to. Enjoy them as a gift of God, but hold them in your hand loosely, because tomorrow might be pretty tough. Enjoy the good times. Realize they're going to pass. Turn to God and bear up in the difficult times and know that's going to pass too. And as children of God, know that however the good and the bad are mixed together in this life, the ultimate thing is, this is not my destiny. And my eternity with the Lord Jesus runs by a completely different set of promises. I'll never cry there. I'll never lose hope there. I'll never be discouraged there. And that will last forever. But on earth, keep the good times and the bad times in perspective. The lessons of Ecclesiastes are vital to view life realistically and accept both joy and grief and seek comfort and purpose from God in all of it. Preceding our passage that I read in Ecclesiastes 11:7, truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Young people, enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. I'm going to touch on some of the advantages of your youthful years that you will never have again. Enjoy it. But realize some days will be different. Remember, Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Enjoy it. Enjoy the opportunities. Make the most of it. Be thankful to God. But don't use it loosely. There's too much thinking in the world that youth is for experimentation, sowing a few wild oats, and sins are just part of youth anyway. God doesn't say. God watches everything, and God does not say, yes, you disobeyed me, but that's okay, you're just a kid. Know that in all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Youth is exciting, or at least it should be. You're strong, and every day you're getting stronger. Believe me, I don't say that. I don't say, oh, every day I'm stronger than I was yesterday. It's more like I get up in the morning and think, huh, I wonder what I did yesterday that I can't do now. You're gaining more and more independence, and that's fun. When you're growing up, it's fun. I did that on my own. There's an ever-increasing number of things that you can do on your own. And while you can do more and you're stronger and you can explore new adventures and new learning circumstances and do so many things, but your responsibilities are not so heavy that they're a consuming burden. You can get your work done and then increase your skill at some fun things. You know, mom and dad can't do that very much. They have work schedules, they have a family to take care of, they have lots of responsibilities. They may have leadership responsibilities in the church and other things that they have to do. They don't have really that much time to say, I'd like to learn how to do this or that. But you do. Enjoy it. You can get your work done and still have time to pursue other things, and the possibilities are nearly endless. Young people, you have an exciting mystery in front of you. 10 years from now, where will you be? What will you be doing? Will you be married? Will you have some important job? It's an exciting question, and the possibilities are endless. But when you're old, trust me, it's not that way. You know what? You think of what, where I may be 10 years from now. You want to know something about old people? They hope they never have to move again. Because the next move is going to be one that came about something like this. Their kids, their adult kids got together and they're talking and they're saying, what are we going to do about mom and dad? They just can't take care of themselves anymore. We're going to have to move them. And more often than not, the process is slowed down because mom and dad don't want to move. Life change. Earthly life is short. Young people, I'm going to tell you something I was told when I was young, and I didn't believe it either, but it's true. You're going to be as old as me quicker than you think. The world says youth is a time for pleasure. Youth is naturally a time for some foolishness and even sin, but don't worry, you can get serious later on. And maybe do some of that God stuff when you get older. God says to you, young people, God doesn't put a big burden on you. God says, enjoy the good times. Turn to me for help in the bad times. But God does say this, in the midst of that, remember me. Remember me. Young people, don't live one day of your life as if God didn't exist. Now is the time to seek your Creator. Now is the time to remember where your life is going and why. A godly life brings contentment, joy, and eternal blessing. A godless life brings disappointment and grief and eternal suffering. So let's look at Ephesians 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The days of your youth are important, and they need to be used lightly, rightly. Forgetting God is easy when we're young for a number of reasons. Number one, our problems are fewer. Our problems are fewer. When you get up every morning and there's aches and pains and there's problems and you're wondering, oh, can I handle this? It's an easy reminder that you need God's help. But when you're young and stronger and faster and smarter every day than you were the day before, it's an easy time for that to be forgotten. Your problems are fewer. You're in a time of life for exploring and doing new things. Your world is expanding. And regrettably, sin can seem fun for a while. There's pleasure in sin for a season before it enslaves you and leaves you in misery. So before youth is wasted and life is lost, you're to remember now, in your youth, how great and powerful God is and how much you need Him every day of your life before the days of trouble come. So let's look at two things. One, the difficult days ahead. And I think that's included in this chapter to put life in perspective and some thoughts on what it means to remember our Creator. Verses 1 to 8 describe the difficulties of old age. These don't sound pleasant, and they're certainly not experienced equally by everybody. But there is only one sure way to avoid the problems and the pains and the difficulties that we're going to read about, and that solution is to die young. There's no other way to avoid it. So look at the challenges in verse 3 today. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. Now, some of these, it may not be exactly clear what the picture is being drawn, and some of the commentators kind of disagree. But the generalities are very, very clear. But most see the keepers of the house are our hands and arms. That, you know, we take care of things. We do our housework. We do the house repairs. We do the work that needs to be done. And instead of being strong and able, they tremble. There was a time not very many years ago, I had no problem at all hanging sheetrock by myself. Well, I'd help out Eli from time to time over at the children's home. And he can tell you those days are over. If there's sheetrock to be hung, I say, Eli, can somebody give me a hand? I can't do that anymore. And strong men bow down. Your strongest members, your legs, your knees, your shoulders, they used to hold up great weights, and now they can't even hold up themselves because you're stooped over. When the grinders cease because they are few, you can't chew your food like you used to because there's not so many teeth in your head anymore. And those that look through the windows grow dim. Probably it's vision issues. Now, we've been blessed with some modern developments I'm very, very thankful for. About 3 years ago, I think, I had cataract surgery. And I'm thankful that they can do that now. Because I knew old people with cataracts when I was a kid, and they had to be led around. It wouldn't have been too long. And that would have been true for me. When doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, possibly weaknesses in sight and hearing and being unaware of what's going on outside, what is going on. You're always wondering. You're always a little fearful. You want to make sure the doors are locked because so much could happen and you'd be caught unaware. One rises at the sound of a bird. Trust me, one thing that's very, very common with older people, we wake up in the morning earlier than we want to, and we may not get up. We may lay there, but when we're laying there, we're wishing we could go back to sleep. I see some of the people in my age group, I can tell from some expressions, they know that's true. All the daughters of music are brought low. Perhaps their voice is getting weak. Also, they are afraid of height. Young people, that's coming. And that's real. And the terrors in the way, you know, there are dangers to even living or existing out in the world. I read a statistic the other day. If you think, oh, I'm going to try my luck. I'm going to drive down to the quick shop and buy a lottery ticket because I might win the jackpot. Here is a statistical truth. You are more likely to die in a traffic accident getting to the quick shop than you are to win the jackpot. Life is dangerous out there, and particularly it can be dangerous at night. More crime takes place at night. People can't be seen. Not nearly as easily. Most of the people that are going around doing legitimate things are home in bed. But young people, usually, if there's something to do and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, they're not worried. I'm not saying they're not in danger, that they're so strong they can fight off the bad guy. I'm saying they don't think about that. Older people do. They think twice about where I go and when I go there. When the almond tree blossoms, now I don't know if we have almond trees around here, but I've read a little bit about them, and their blossoms are snow white. And in old age, if you have any hair left, it's likely to be white. The grasshopper is a burden. Now, I read a couple of opinions on this one. One is that, you know, we think of grasshoppers and we see them and they can jump so high and everything. But toward the end of summer, as they're weakening, it's even a grasshopper to hop around is really difficult. Now, others pointed out the comparison. When you're kind of stooped over, and the angle that your legs are, and to keep your balance, you kind of bring your arms back and walk like that, and the profile is a lot like a grasshopper. I'm not sure which it is, kids, but live long enough and it's coming. And desire fails. You don't have the appetite that you used to. Maybe don't have the desires for intimacy that you used to. Or it's a whole broad thing of ambitions. How frequently it is, if you get a group of people together, you know, family or friends, but a big group and varying ages, and there's that hill to climb, and it looks like the view would be really exciting. And the young people, come on, let's go. And some of the older people say, tell me about it when you get back. I'm content not to go there. I'm content not to experience that. I'm very content to miss out on quite a few things. There just isn't that desire, strong desire and compulsion anymore. And from there, for a man goes to his eternal home. At the end of those troubles, you die. And mourners go about the street. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. Some commentators, looking back historically when this was written, think that that bowl refers to the kind of lights that they used and the flame that was within them and the cords that they had hung by. had broken and the bowl was broken and the light was extinguished. Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. We need water, we need drink, and we go and get it and we fill the pitcher only to see it fall and break. Or the wheel broken at the well, the wheel that lowers down the bucket into the well. The mechanism to bring the water up does not work anymore. The simplest things are impossible and gone. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Death comes, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And everybody has this common end: to face God. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. If everything you lived for on earth was only the earthly things, then your life will be meaningless. There is no treasure, there is no accomplishment, there is no achievement that will make one bit of difference then. The only thing that will matter is, what is your relationship to your Creator? That and nothing else will matter. I want to take just a few minutes and look at an example of a man that remembered his Creator in the days of his youth and the impact that he had. Now, that man is well known. It's David. And the incident that I'm going to look at first is one of the most common in all of the Bible: his encounter with Goliath. Okay, we're not treading new ground here at all. But I think we might make a couple observations that are sometimes skipped in David's story. When David encountered Goliath, as we know, David was not a soldier. David was the little brother that's still back home watching the sheep and helping dad. But David was sent to his brothers. He had three older brothers that were in the army. And he was sent by his dad with some provisions for his brothers and also to see, look, find out what's going on and come back and give his report. 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 23, this is what David heard. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Whoa. The older, stronger, trained soldiers are cowering. And little brother comes from home and essentially says, what in the world is going on here? He's defying the armies of the living God. Why aren't you doing something about it? David was not a soldier. But he had faith in his God. He had come about there at the instruction of his father. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers in the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news. But this wasn't the first encounter that David had had with Saul. Remember, Saul, he had some real doubts with depression and spiritual events that were just tearing him apart. And during one of these times, Saul said to his servants, provide me now with a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. This is talking about David at an earlier time. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. He became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it was so. Whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, then David would take his harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Let's look at David a moment. David's a kid. Fearless to fight the Philistine that is scaring the whole army. Because of his faith in God. He's defying the armies of the living God. How can you be afraid? David, I'm sure, was a man of prayer, but David was not one that would hold a shovel in his hand and lean on it while he prayed for a hole in the ground. David, as a young man, had been very, very faithful. It's very clear. David worked hard on his music lessons. While still a young person, they had heard about him. They had heard him. If anybody can play that instrument and soothe the king, it's that young man. David had worked hard on his music lessons. Other places talked about how David had taken very seriously his responsibility as a shepherd and killed bears and lions with his bare hands. And if his bare hands weren't enough, David had worked and worked and worked and accomplished his skill with a sling. David had used his youth well. David knew and trusted and followed his God. And conquered a foreign army as a boy. Young people, do many things, develop many skills, take advantage of those opportunities, be thankful for every one of them, but never, ever, ever, ever let those things become the most important things in your life. Seek God first with all your heart. Receive with thanksgiving every gift and opportunity that He gives to you. Trust Him in the time of every difficulty. God's promises are true. Young people and everyone, believe His promises and use them well. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You that Your promises are true. And Lord, forbid that we would believe Your word and then live as independently as You from You as an unbeliever. Let us seek first Your kingdom. Let us seek first Your righteousness, and then trust You to guide us, provide for us, and glorify Yourself in our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.